Blog Talk Radio.
Of Adam to Jesus. You may say, what? We're going to Yeah, look at that. So get your papers and your paper or your laptop so you can document the scriptures that I'm going to be sharing with you today as part of step three, the history. We know that Adam and women are both most Bible scholars or people who go to church know that Mary was tempted, not Mary, that Eve, a woman, was tempted, and then there was a fall into put out of the garden. And most people who know about the story of creation know that Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. But then also later on, they had a third son. And the third son was named Seth. Let's look at Genesis, the fifth chapter. You can document that in your record. Genesis, the fifth chapter, verse number 3. I'll just start with verse number 1. In Genesis, the fifth chapter, I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, this is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God made him, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. Adam lived 130 years and begot his son, own likeness, and after his image, and called his name Seth. That's Seth, S-E-T-H. So Adam and his wife, whose middle name was called Eve, had a son named Seth. It says, Adam lived 130 years and begot his son in his own likeness and after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he begot Seth was 800 years and he begot sons and daughters. So Seth was not his baby, only his third child. Because he had Cain and Abel, first son, second son, third son, and Seth. Now, if you would look in the fifth chapter of Genesis, you would see the connection between Seth, and it goes all the way down from Seth to Noah. So in Genesis, it shows us the lineage and the genealogy from Seth, who was Adam's child, to the birth of Noah. And Noah, we know, was the one that found favor with the Lord and built an ark and really saved mankind from the worldwide flood. So, but in your notes, Genesis, the fifth chapter, connects the genealogy of Adam, who God created, third son, to Noah, the one who built the ark. Now, once we look at Noah, we see that Noah had three sons. And three sons went on the ark. And boy, and so I could ask the question if I was in the classroom. I would say, well, who knows the names of Noah's sons? But since we're not in an interactive classroom at this time, I will share that with you. Noah had three sons, and the names were Shem, Ham, and Jacob. Shem, S-H-E-M, Ham, H-A-M, and Jacob, J-A-C-H-E-T-H, had three sons. Now, Noah and the three sons replenished the entire earth. So you would say, oh, well, we've got people living in this country and that country and in the other country, and they look this way and that way. They all came from the seed of Noah. And you know today, they show the connection, the genealogy The writer of Matthew says that there's 42 generations, and he describes it as, and you turn to Matthew, the first chapter, the writer says, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The writer says 14 generations from this person to that person, 14 generations from this person to the other person, and 14 generations. So he captures 42 generations, but he divided it into 14-year segments. So what I'm doing is taking you from Adam and bringing you on up to the book of Matthew. So we're talking about, just as we were talking about Noah having three sons, and we have to know which son is the one that leads us to this 42 generations that is in the book of Matthew. So I'm getting ready to tell you, and I'm getting ready to share with you the scriptural reference. Shem, is it Ham, is it Japheth? Which son is it that brings us to Abram to start the 42 generations? The answer to that question can be found in chapter of Genesis. Can be found in chapter 5 of Genesis. Okay. So the born of Lamech. And it says down in 32, chapter 5, Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So that's the last verse in chapter 5. And then we go on into chapter 6. And we go to the 16th. You know, the 16th verse, we're still dealing with the ark. So we're going to go over to where it shows after the ark is built, and then it talks about the children of Shem. That's the 10th chapter. The 10th chapter of Genesis. And it says it gives us the sons of Jacob, and it gives us the sons of Ham, and then it gives us the love came from the genealogy of Shem. So right there in the notes, Genesis, the 10th chapter, verse number 22, and then also ends with verse number, we'll just go to the end of chapter 11, to the entire chapter 11. And it will show you the genealogy from Shem, who is one of the three sons of Noah, to the birth of Abraham. And in the Bible, it calls him Abram because God had not changed his name from Ham yet. But he shows that it's in the end of chapter 10, starting with verse 22, and the entire chapter 11. So please write your down so you can go back and look at that. So what I just presented to you today is the genealogy of Adam that God created all the way down to Abel. And so now we're going to go back to the book of Matthew, because Matthew is a Jew. His purpose of Matthew to show that Jesus is the King of the Jews. So he starts generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. So I presented to you the genealogy from Adam to Abraham. Now in Matthew, it points us to the genealogy between Abraham to Joseph and then to Jesus. So what we have covered in the first 20 minutes of this broadcast is a presentation of how Adam, the God created in Genesis, the first chapter, is directly related to Joseph, Jesus' natural father. Hallelujah. That's something to rejoice. You see, the genealogy is presented right in the Bible. And it brings us to Joseph, the genealogy to Joseph, which of the tribes of Israel, Judah, is the answer. And it brings us to David's father, Jesse. Hallelujah. Jesse had sons. The youngest son was David. David ended up being the king of Israel, the king of Judah. He ended up being the king of the United Nations. When I say United Nations, I'm talking about all of the different tribes of Israel. And then in chapter 9, but it says who Joseph was. Hallelujah. Joseph was the natural father. When I say natural, I'm going to say natural stepfather of Jesus. Because there was no intimate interaction between Joseph and Mary before she gave birth to Jesus. Now, let's look at what the angel said to Mary. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at the one, Luke is part of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Luke verse 27 says, to a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph. I just went over the genealogy of Joseph from Adam all the way down to Joseph. So there was a virgin that was a spouse to Joseph. And Joseph is of the house of David, you know, because we went over the genealogy. And the virgin's name was Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, if you didn't write down the scripture reading from the book of Luke, the starting with the 27th verse, and continuing down. And when she saw him, she was troubled. She was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind, what manner of salutation this should be. So we see that the angel appeared unto Mary and saluted Mary. And Mary was like, well, what kind of salutation is that? Well, let's look at where Mary was when the angel actually approached her. Mary was in the city of Galilee named Nazareth. That's where Mary was when the angel spoke to her, when the angel appeared unto her. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. But most likely she probably was afraid. An angel appears in your room, you know, all of a sudden there's an angel in front of you, leading you, talking to you. Yeah, as a human being, we would fear. And the Bible, the angel said to Mary in the Bible, it says, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Don't fear, Mary, you have found favor with God, whom thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. So you're going to have a son, and his name is going to be Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and on his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, so Mary, look at the angel, and Mary opened up her mouth and said, how shall this be? How can I give birth to a son when I'm going to name Jesus? You know, how am I going to do that? I'm a virgin. How shall this be? Not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son. your gallery, and we know the conversation that was going on between the angel and Mary, between the angel and Mary. So what did Mary say? Mary just gave permission. Let it be. In verse 37, it says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said in verse 38, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. So Mary said, "Okay, which God chose me, let it be. I'm willing for you. Let it be." And that's what she's given permission. Let it be. Let it be. Behold, I am your handmaid, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm your handmaid. Be it unto me according to thy word. And to them, we use the word I to the root, we sing the song, I surrender all. We use the word I surrender, I submit myself to you. Let your will be done in my life. Whatever your will is, Lord, I agree to you in my life. And that's what Mary was doing. Now, God chose two people to bring forth Jesus. We see the conversation with Mary. Now there was conversation with the angel. And we're going to go back, and we're going to look at the angel talking to Joseph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now the angel would need to talk to Joseph, but before the angel talked to Joseph, there was a conversation that was going on between Mary and Joseph. Oh, yes, there was a conversation that went on because Mary told Joseph what her encounter was in this day. It's like, Joseph, this angel came to me. And this is what the angel said. The angel said that I'm going to get pregnant, and that I'm going to bring forth a child, and his name is going to be Jesus. You know, and this is the person he gave this to me. And I'm like, why are you saying, well, you know, we are engaged, but I've never had sex with you, and I've never had sex with any other man. Yes, I'm using the word sex on radio. I've never had sex with any other man, and not even you, Joseph. Angel is saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what the angel is saying. So she had that conversation with Joseph. So now, looking at Joseph, who is a just man, and hearing his wife say about being pregnant, and we don't know, at least in my research, I don't know the period of time from when the angel spoke to Mary to when Mary had that conversation with Joseph to when the angel spoke to Joseph. I don't know that time frame. If you know that time frame, please share it with me. But there was a time frame, whether it was days, hours, weeks, there was a time frame that took place. Hallelujah. So Mary told Joseph. So Mary probably began to show, because it takes 3 months in order, you know, before a woman actually, you can see that the stomach of Mary is so Joseph loved Mary, and the reason why I said Joseph loved Mary is because when Mary told him, he and the man that loved Mary did not want to make her a spectacle in the community. So he was thinking in his mind, how can I protect this woman that I love, this woman whose name was Mary? Let's go back to the book of Matthew, the first chapter, and let's look and Joseph and the relationship between Mary and Joseph. In Matthew, the first chapter, beginning at verse 18, But while he was thinking about the decision that he was making, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. This is recorded in Matthew, the first chapter, verse 20. Appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto Mary, to be married thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So it says, don't be afraid to marry Mary. Mary, M-A-R-R-Y, Mary, M-A-R-Y. Don't be afraid to marry Mary. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had given him, and took unto him his wife. So after he listened to the angel, and the angel appeared to him, he went and made Mary his wife. So they were no longer engaged. He actually married her, and she was pregnant with Jesus. She was pregnant with Jesus when Joseph married her, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus. So he married her so she would not be a public spectacle and put down by the community as an unwed mother, but he married her to show that I love this woman, and I want her to be respected as my wife. That's not fiance, as my wife. And I know that what is in her, the angel said, is of God, and she is chosen. She is a chosen woman, and I'm a chosen man, because I came from theology of Adam back in Genesis, the first chapter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you're following me on being chosen. Now, in my lesson, I said that Mary was a Nazarene, that Jesus was actually born in Bethlehem. Now, how did Mary, who was in the city of Galilee and living in Nazareth, when the angel spoke to her, how did she give birth 9 months later in the Bible that there was a decree that there was going to be taxes levied? And the decree came from Caesar Augustus. The scriptural reference is Luke, the second chapter, verse 1. There was a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be taxed. All the world would be taxed. That means all of the cities, counties, states, that they all had to be taxed. So in order for the taxation to occur, they had to go back to the land of their ancestors, their family. And we know that Joseph came from the lineage of David, who came from the lineage of Abraham, who came from the image of Shem, that came from the image of Noah, that came from the image of Shem, hallelujah, that came from the image of Seth, which Adam, that God created. So let me just say that again. Yes, Adam's third born, which is Seth. Seth had children that led to said that his seed would prosper, the sands of the sea, and he would be blessed. And whoever blesses him, that they would be blessed. So we can go back and read out. Let's talk about Abraham and Genesis, the fourth chapter. But anyway, this lesson is about Mary and Joseph. It says, and Luke the second, in those days, there still went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into their own city. So Joseph had to go to, let's read the fourth verse, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judah unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. So the question is, how did Mary and Joseph get to Bethlehem? Because there was a decree that went out from Caesar Augustus to where your family, you had to go back to the city that represented your family. And Joseph's family is from the lineage of David. They had to go to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. So when they went to Bethlehem, Mary was already pregnant with Jesus. Mary and Joseph was already married. So they go here on, and it says in verse 5, to be tested, Mary is a daughter of being raised with child. It says his false wife, but it also stated earlier that he was not, he took Mary to be his wife. Okay, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Came to a full-term pregnancy, and she actually delivered Jesus. Now, let's go back. It says that they traveled from Galilee to Bethlehem. So that means that they needed to come to a hotel or then a place so that they could be there in Bethlehem to pay the taxes that they're supposed to pay. And the Bible says that there was no room at the inn. So the hotel that was there in Bethlehem, the inn that was there in Bethlehem, there was no room. But there was a stable in the back. And Mary gave birth to Jesus, the King of the Jews, in a stable. And the witnesses were Mary, Joseph, and the animals that was in the stable. Well, but Jesus was born. Jesus was born. And he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And at the time that Jesus was born, there was an announcement made by an angel to the shepherds that was out in the field. And the shepherds came to see Jesus. But then also, there was also a star in the sky that got the attention of some wise men in another country. And then they eventually came to see Jesus, who was no longer a little newborn baby, but was a, we're going to just focus in on Mary and Joseph, how they were chosen of God to be the parents of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be able to raise Jesus up with the tradition, the Jewish tradition, and also reading the rules that was written in the Old Testament. We call it the Old Testament, that they were actually scrolls that Jesus studied as he was growing up. But when we look at Mary and Joseph, Mary was chosen, a chosen vessel. She was a virgin, so engaged to a just man that loved her and stood by her while she carried the baby, the Holy One, in Mary's womb. And he traveled, and he covered her and traveled with her to go back to his country, his city, so that he could pay taxes. But it's all written. And he needed to go back to Bethlehem because that's where Jesus needed to be born. Being chosen, the story of Mary and Joseph. I hope you have altar of the Old Testament. So I invite you, if you're questioning, go back and read Genesis. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But now, let's look at the words being chosen. We talked about the life of Mary and Joseph. Don't you know that God has called people today? God has chosen people today to be in the right place for God to use them to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a lot of times, those people that are chosen of God may not look like who you think should be chosen and may not be in the family that you think it should be in. But God chooses who he will to carry out his work. If you will look at Saul, no one knew. And I'm not talking about King Saul. I'm talking about Saul in the New Testament. Who knew that Saul, the Jew, knew the word of God, still Christian, would be the greatest person to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to recruit and to be used by God to write so many books and letters in the New Testament. Heard of us. But yet God chose him for in time ministry in his day and time. He chose him to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to do missionary work, to travel, and to share the word. Some of you are chosen today. Some of you God has called to do a work for him. God has put in some of you a desire, but yet you keep running away. You say, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to be a teacher. Well, I don't want to be a singer. Or I don't want to do that. But yet, there's a pulling on your heart that God has called you to do a work for him. You're like, I don't want to be traveling. I don't want to be a missionary. But God is pulling on your heart, friends, and saying, I have called you. I have equipped you. I have chosen you for such a time as this today to accept the call that God has put on your life. No matter how old or how young you are, you may say, well, I'm too old. I'm in my 60s. I'm in my 70s. God used people. He used old people in some situations. And some situations he didn't use. You say, well, I'm young. Let me party. Let me just enjoy life. But you really can't enjoy life without Jesus. Without Jesus in your life. There's a calling on your life. Don't stop. Don't ignore the calling. Don't ignore the calling. Don't ignore the plan that God has for you. You are chosen. You are valuable. God has put in you skills and abilities. God put them in you when you were born. They're there. They're in you right now. You say, oh, the great people who play musical instruments. Yes, they took lessons, but the gift was in, was put in them from the very beginning. Motivational speakers, oh, they took public speaking classes, but the gift was put in them. Writers, oh, they write, oh, best-selling novels. The gift was put in them from the very beginning. So what gift do you have? How can you be used by God in this day and time? During the day of COVID, during the day when men are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, during the day and time when many large churches are closed down and only little small groups can meet together, how can you share the gospel of Jesus Christ? How can you make a difference in the area that you're in? How can you encourage your family? How can you encourage other people to trust in God? God called you to do. Today, we look at Mary and Joseph and how they were chosen. We looked at them, but I'm talking about you today. You're chosen. Some of you are chosen. I'm not going to say all of you, but some of you all are chosen. You know, and I am just prophesying that the ones that are chosen, that's listening to my voice, will walk in the calling that God has called them to do. We can do, there's a scripture that I love. It says, I can do all things with Christ who strengthens me. And you can do all things. Walk in God's calling. When Jesus was in the garden before the soldiers came to get him, he wrestled and he tussled with what was about to happen. We have situations in our lives that we really don't want to go through, and we don't want to deal with those situations. We don't want it to be part of us. We don't want no part of it, but yet, when we have to say like Jesus said, not my will, but let your will be done. You know, it's like, well, do I really have to move to another state? If that's what God is telling you to do, because there is work for you to do in that state, and you have to, your path has to cross somebody else's path to get you to where you need to be and doing the work for the Lord. For accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish while you're here on the face of this earth. There is a work for you to do. And I won't say not surrender all, but this broadcast, I'm not going to say anything on this broadcast. But one thing I will do is for those who do not know Jesus Christ in the part of their sin, that they will accept Jesus Christ. That they will say, what must I do to be saved? That they will say, I surrender my life to you. I try doing what I want to do, but if I don't have peace, you know, I'm always trying to find something to fill this void that's in my life. And I'm telling you today that Jesus can fill the void. Amen. Just say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for all of my sins, the ones that I know I did, and even the ones that I don't know that I did them. Lord, forgive me. Help me, Lord, to live for you for the rest of my life. Forgive me and save my soul. Use me. Don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. I believe Jesus is to the point. I believe that you walked on the face of this earth. I believe we're Calvary. But then you also, you got up out of the grave. And that you're sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Lord, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I'm going to spend eternity with you. But before eternity comes, before I step out of this bed of flesh, I want you to use in direct say how I need to save so that I can be one of your chosen vessels in 2020 to 2021, even 2022. I want to be a vessel. It's for your use. So clean me up. Whatever's in me, if there's any unforgiveness in me, Lord, remove all unforgiveness. Help me to forgive people because, Heavenly Father, I want you to forgive me. Use me. Help me to walk in the calling of my life. I can't do it without you. I know you say, but you don't know my past. You say, but you don't know what I did. You know, I did things and I regret doing things and I can't go back and redo it again. God knows all about what you did. God saw you when you were in that dark room and you thought you were hiding and nobody saw you do me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come to me. I will give you the rest that you need. You don't have to chase getting high, getting drunk. I will give you peace. Just come and accept me as your Lord and Savior. Because there's a work that I have for you to do. Come to me. Come to me. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today. And I hope those that have not accepted Jesus Christ will do so today. Don't let the day go by without saying, choose me, Lord. I want to be your chosen vessel for this day and time. I know how you chose other people in the past, but I want to be available for you to do. In spite of what people have said about me, in spite of what people know about me or think they know about me, I want to be used by you to make a difference in this world. So forget about those things behind. Allow God to cover us with his blood. And just say, here am I. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to say, I am available to you. I'm available to you. Thank you very much for tuning in to the broadcast today. Dr. Wendell speaks the word. I hope you actually got something out of the broadcast today. I hope the light in some way or the other. If you want to contact me, you can text me at 443-522-6280. That's 443-522-6280. Or you can send me an email to reflectionministry@gmail.com. That's reflectionministry@gmail.com. I look forward to reading your email, and I invite you to tune in to our intercessory prayer on Sundays from 12 noon Eastern Standard Time to 12:15, where we pray and we intercede for people all over the world. Tell your family and friends to tune in every Tuesday and Thursday at the lunchtime hour to tune in and hear Dr. Wendell speak the word. Hallelujah. So if you go forth this week, who God has created for you to do, commit your life to him. Don't worry about your past. Don't worry about your past. Just commit your present and allow God to use you in the future. God bless you. Bye-bye.